Hello, everyone. Great to worship you, worship together with you. Although we meet online, pray that we through this time, we will dwell in His presence and glorify Him through our worship. So I hope you had a good morning, and hopefully you had a good breakfast. As we wake up, we probably begin with this question: what should I eat for breakfast, right? And what did you choose to eat for breakfast this morning? Cereal? Toast or scrambled eggs, and not just the breakfast, but even when we choose to drink coffee, we ask, should I drink black coffee or coffee with milk? Okay, then should I put 2% or skim or whole milk? You know, I can go on and on with questions after questions, and my sermon will never end. According to one statistic, surprisingly, an adult makes about 35,000 choices in one day. Can you believe this? It is not wrong to say life is made up of an infinite amount of choices. So as you may have felt already, there are many times in our lives when we must make decisions. And as we know that what you choose will lead you to a different path. So for example, wrong choice of menu from the restaurant may ruin your family dinner time. And wrong choice of your color of your lipstick may make you happy, may make you unhappy all day. And wrong choice of your words can break your relationship. So decision making has the power to make us happy or unhappy. And it has the power to make us look good or bad. And in some extreme cases, it can bring life-changing outcome. You know, sometimes people make unwise choices which lead to tragedies. I recently saw a news showing that a teenager chooses to ride with a friend who has been drinking and resulting in a serious accident and the loss of life. And we know that this was a bad decision. And also, if we are to share how we met our spouse, many of the stories will probably begin with insignificant decisions to attend some social events or church gathering. And that decision led to a relationship which forever affected our lives. I met my wife at my father's church. We started our relationship by serving the praise team together. I was the praise team leader, and my wife was a main keyboardist. No sparks in the beginning, but we slowly built our relationship by serving together in the church. And we ended up getting married, and I'm living with this woman of God for 11 years now. So this, I guess, was a good decision for me. So decision-making is indeed an important skill that we need to have. And I'm sure many of you acknowledge the importance of having the decision-making skill in your workplace and in your life. So people attend seminar or get trained to build such a skill. But all of us who are Christian, we must learn the lesson through the Bible and be trained according to God's word. So through today's passage, I would like us to learn about how Christians ought to make decisions. In today's passage, we can see Lot making decisions. And we can see what he chooses to think, chooses to do, and chooses to see. In the beginning of chapter 13, we can see that the herdsmen of Lot and Abram were quarreling because there wasn't an adequate land to support all their flocks. But in order for Abram to resolve the conflict, Abram gave Lot his choice to choose a land. But this was not an easy thing to do, as it sounds. You know, think about the situation. God had promised the land to Abram, not to Lot. Abram was older, and he was the chief of the clan. But Abram graciously yielded his rights and had Lot to choose first. So how should the Lot's response be? He should have thanked Abraham for his graciousness and be thankful for his prosperity. Or shouldn't he say at least, "Uncle, I have been blessed so much because of you, so how can I leave you?" Or at least say, "You're my uncle, so why don't you choose first?" But rather, we can see in today's passage that without any hesitance, he lifts up his eyes and chooses the land that looks good to him. Look at verse 10. It says, "Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. And in verse 11 it says, so Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. You know, if we see verse 10 and 11, we may say, what a faithless and what a moralist person you are. You know, but I think we shouldn't be too quick to judge Lot like this, because we can also mirror ourselves through Lot. You know, we have been blessed by God, and he has been gracious to us more than enough that not only he gave his only son Jesus Christ to die for us, to save us, and to give us an eternal life, but also blessed us with place to work, home to stay warm, and children and spouse to share love. But when making decision, we, without any hesitance, to be thankful for what God has done for us, without asking God for his wisdom and guidance, we lift up our eyes and choose what will benefit us rather than choosing what will please God. You know, we think we are the man and woman of faith, but there are many times when we choose to think, choose to see, and choose to do things like the people with no faith. And maybe we know that this is wrong, but without noticing, this may have become our habit. And this is us, and this was Lot. Then what leads us and Lot to make faithless decision? I want us to learn the lesson by seeing what caused Lot to make faithless decision and how Abram was able to make faithful decision through today's passage. First, faithless decision caused by self-centeredness. Look at verse 11. It says in the beginning, so Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan. We can see here that Lot only thought about himself and chose not the portion, but the whole plain. People who are being self-centered don't have any consideration or concession for others. This is because their purpose of life is not on God, but on themselves. People who are faithful are willing to give up their own benefits to please God. But people who are faithless only care about their own benefits. And this is the greed that comes from not trusting God. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25 says, a greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. James 1:14 says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. So if you are drawn to greed, then there is no gratitude, no satisfaction, no sacrifice. And what happens in the end? James 1:15 tells us that then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. If you see in the beginning of this chapter, we know that both Lot and Abram have increased wealth. But their increased wealth actually led to increased strife because there was not enough land for each of them. This tells us that wealth can be a blessing, but it can also be a dangerous blessing. Increased wealth always results in increased potential, either for evil or for good. And it seems like in this case, it ended up for evil, which led them to separation. When Lot first saw Sodom and Gomorrah, he may have thought that he had received a great blessing. Maybe he thought he made a wise choice and grabbed an opportunity that will never come back. But he didn't really care about how Abram would have felt and how he would live. Rather, he selfishly chose what would only benefit him. But maybe we can blame him, because people in the world may say, yes, that's how you gotta live in this world. You have to catch it when opportunity comes. And in order to catch that opportunity, just step onto someone and steal from them if you need to. Who cares what they get? Just get what you need first. They will figure it out by themselves. It's their life. But we know that this is not the biblical way of thinking. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and are trapped into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. And we know that this is exactly what happened to Lot in the end. If we live by greed, there may be a momentary benefits, but eventually we will lose it in the end. And it will lead us to make the worst decision of life, just like Lot. At this time, I would like to share a 3-minute video with you. The title for this video is called Giving is the Best Communication. What do you think about the message of this clip? Did he help because he possessed a lot of things? Probably was not an easy thing to do for him too. But instead of just filling his own pocket, he was willing to help those who are in a harder situation. And through this old man's generous giving, it made this little boy to find a new life, to become a person who generously gives to others. I think this is the life of how a Christian ought to live. We should be able to say, by God's grace, I'm standing where I am now, so I want to help those who are in need. I haven't got much, but with what I have, I want to serve the people who are in harder situation. We recently watched the video called The Chode Story. It showed us about how our church members are going through this difficult time. Many touching stories, but one section in this video captured my heart. If I remember correctly, it showed a text message that this one church member wrote to other member of our church. It says, "I only have 5 good masks, and I would like to donate this to the other member who works in a medical field." You know, 5 masks may not be a big deal, but maybe that was the best that this person can give at that time. And I thought it was beautiful. Jesus best communicated his love by giving his life to us on the cross. And his generous giving gave us a new life. And just like this boy, as a recipient of this great love of God and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to let this blessing flow. We may not be able to give our lives, but we may give our hearts, time, dedication, and sometimes even our possession to communicate with the world what the gospel-centered, not the self-centered living would look like. A man of faith is different from those who belong to the world. Man of faith loses greed and decides to yield, even if there is a loss. A man of faith always be thankful for what they have, share what they have, and rejoice together. And sometimes, even though you may not receive any benefits, choose something that may please God. It's because our future is completely in God's hand. And when you do so, God will show you that your decision was right. Secondly, faithless decision caused by prayerless life. In verse 10, when Abraham gave Lot the first choice, Lot immediately lifts up his eyes and chooses the land that is well watered, like the garden of the Lord and like the land of Egypt. To his eyes, this land looks perfect. Whoever sees it, it is a land worth investing and looks like he can be prosperous. This is a land that he did not want to lose, which is fine. But the problem is that rather than praying for or asking God, Lot chooses to decide what he sees in his eyes. See how the word so connects verse 10 and 11. In verse 10, it starts like this. Lot looked up and saw that the land was well watered. And in verse 10, so Lot chose for himself the whole plain. He chose the land not because God told him to, not because his choice can glorify God, but because it looked good to him. Likewise, we often make decisions without bothering to pray about it. We don't really think about how our decision can glorify God. And we don't really think about whether our decision can please God or not. You know, there are people who choose a spouse without praying. Some people only care about their looks, family, or education background, or their career. But the marriage, we know that it's not about seeing what you have, but the biblical marriage is seeing the same vision and walk together to glorify God. And also there are people who choose a career without praying. People only think about how much company will pay me and what will benefit me for working in this company, which is fine. But we need to think about how we can serve God and glorify Him through my career. The life that depends on visible things causes a failure in Christian life. We know that in Genesis, Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil because it was delight to the eyes. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world." Maybe Lot did not want to lose the golden opportunity, so he refused, or maybe forgot to take some time to pray about it and quickly chose what looks good to him. But if you make decision without praying, without knowing the will of God, you may fall. And the golden opportunity to human's eye may come back to you as a crisis, just like it did to Lot. If you decide without praying, even the land that will get destroyed will look perfect to you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." Those without faith believe in their own eyes. They believe in their own experience and knowledge. But do not trust your own eyes. Do not trust your own experience and knowledge, because no matter how talented or how smart we are no more than a weak, sinful human being who will never go beyond God. If you truly believe this, then you must always humbly kneel before Him. Faithless people decide with their own eyes, but faithful people decide with their knees. So if we do not pray when making decision, our standard is based on what we see rather than what God sees. In previous chapter, Abram did not pray when there was a famine. Then he went down to Egypt and he experienced a terrible failure. He tried to save his life by telling lies to Pharaoh that his wife Sarah was not wife but his sister. You know, what kind of husband is this? It's because he only saw what can save his life rather than seeing God's purpose of sending him to Egypt. So this time he waits for God's call and make a choice. But Lot immediately makes a choice based on what he sees. I want to ask this question to all of you. Are you a person who prays to God before making decision? Or are you a person who immediately makes decision without even praying about it? We need to remember, seeing things without praying cannot be trusted. But if you start praying, then you will begin to see God's working hand. The way you see other people will change, and your perspective will change, and your standard will change. And when you choose to live by faith, then you will pray. And if you pray, you will begin to see new things. If anyone is in a situation where you have to make an important decision, whether you need to choose career, whether you need to choose if you should forgive this person or not, you have to first become a man or woman of prayer, because you cannot make a right decision if you don't pray. And you will not see God's plan if you don't pray. You know, sometimes you may have to miss the opportunity, but we have to train ourselves to have patience and wait for God's call. Sometimes it can be painful, boring, or meaningless. But if you patiently pray and trust God, He will show us the best at the best time. Sodom and Gomorrah may look best for us, and choosing the desert land of Canaan may look foolish. But this was the land that God had prepared to bless them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." So we must not become a faithless people to choose based on what we see, but choose with the eyes of faith based on the Word of God. And sometimes this may be hard to do on your own, and that's why we have pastors, elders, small group leaders, and members who can pray for you. So as one body of Jesus Christ and as one community, we need to walk together in this journey of faith by praying for one another, by serving one another, and helping one another, and we will experience miraculous and powerful working hands of God. Thirdly, a faithless decision caused by leaving God's word. Lot probably have thought that Abram was foolish to give up this perfect opportunity, this perfect land, and decide to stay in this desert land of Canaan. But there's one thing that Lot did not see. It is a promise that God made with Abram, that all nations will be blessed by Abram. Abram was the path of God's promised blessings. He was the one who let the blessing flow, but Lot couldn't see this. With worldly perspective, leaving this person or place looked good. And with worldly perspective, Abraham seemed to have nothing to look at. Faithless people do not recognize the man of blessing. Faithless people find it boring and worthless to be with the people of faith. And faithless people find it meaningless to rely on God's word. And Lot, who was faithless, couldn't see that it is through Abraham that God decides to bless all nations. So Lot chooses to leave the man of blessing. In other words, Lot chooses to leave the promised word of God. Take a look at verse 12. It says, "Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom." Abram decided to stay in the land of Canaan, And although this land is not a pleasant place to be, he decides to stay because this is the place where God's promise dwells. But Lot moved his tent as far as Sodom. And according to verse 13, Sodom was wicked and there was great sinners against the Lord. It was an obscene land and a land where people live for their own pleasure. It was a land where it is impossible to find a people of faith. So later, this land gets destroyed. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49-50 gives the reason for their destruction. It says, "Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. They were haughty and did an abomination before me, so I removed them when I saw it." The ultimate reason why Sodom was destroyed was not obscenity. It was the pride. They had excessive food and prosperous ease, but rather than using its resources to help the poor and needy to glorify God, they use it to fill their own desires and pleasures. And this is why they fell to obscenity. Lot was not someone who cares for others. He was a man with greed who always wants to have more. So Lot being drawn to the land that has excess resources and group of people who follow their own pleasure is not a coincidence. He is naturally attracted to this circumstance. So ask yourself this question: to who or where am I attracted more? Since Lot was attracted more to the people in Sodom, in other words, he was more attracted to the people who belong to the sinful world, he decided to leave Abraham, the man of blessing who possessed the promised word of God. Faithless people can see what is truly precious. Why do people in the world do not value those who believe in Jesus? It's because they do not know how precious it is to believe in Jesus. They do not know the secret hidden in God's word. This is why they think that we Christians are wasting our time on Sunday at church. And this is why they think that we're foolish when we sacrifice our time, when we sacrifice our time, energy, and money for others and for church. To them, this is like an investment with no payback. Those who seek the pleasure of the world will be drawn to those people in the world. But those who seek the pleasures in Christ will be drawn to God's word and to those people of faith. It's possible to gain the whole world and lose our soul. So we must remember that there is much more in life than the outward and material. Hebrews 11:26 says, "He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasure of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward." We must base our choices on God's word, not on the assumption of our culture. Lot's choice of Sodom was based on what would bring him quick gratification. But he did not take into account God's promise to Abraham about the land. As believers, we are to live by faith in the promise of God. And when we face decision, we must take God into account and make those decisions in line with his promises and principles, not the immediate gratification of the flesh. And when you do so, God will make you be a blessing so that the people around you will also be blessed through you. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." I would like to conclude my message. Sodom and Gomorrah was definitely an attractive city, but God's promise was not there. It was just a city that gave the illusion that it would promise happiness. And because of his self-centeredness, because of his prayerless life, because of leaving God's word, Lot's mind and heart was clouded by his false illusion. And this is an illustration that Lot choosing Sodom is like going closer to the sinful world. And Abraham choosing to settle in the promised land is like going closer to God. And this different decision led Abraham and Lot to a different path of life. Contrary to Lot, as Abraham faced the famine, conflict, and the loss in his life, as he faces the relationship problem, and as he goes to the sacrifices, he turns stronger into the man of faith. Such hardship did not become a reason for Abraham to depart from God, but it became a reason for Abraham to get closer to God. Although his life was full of problems, he knew one thing for sure. Although the place where he stands was a tough land, he knew that this is the place where God called him to be and where God will bless him. But there is one secret how he came to this point where he was able to firmly and patiently grab onto God's promise. It was through worship. Through worship, he kept an intimate relationship with God and always reminded himself how gracious and almighty our God is. Worshiping and building an altar became his habit. If you see in the Bible, wherever Abraham went, the first thing he always did was to build an altar. But when he forgot to build an altar in Egypt, we know that he experienced a shameful moment. And also, nowhere in the Bible says that Lot worshiped. And we know and we saw his faithlessness. So worship was a secret for Abraham to keep his faith and to make a faithful decision. So through worship, Abraham was reminded of God's sovereignty. And such habit became the source of the power of wisdom and the power of faith to make wise and faithful decisions. Dear friends, is anyone struggling in the place where you are standing? Struggling in the place of marriage life? Struggling in the place of your career or studies? Struggling in the place of your relationship in your life? Or struggling in the place of any kind of situation in your life? If God called you to that place, don't be too quick to lift up your eyes to find what you think is better. But faithfully, patiently, and humbly kneel before God to discern what the will of God is. And choose to think, choose to see, choose to do, and choose to say things that is based on God's word. And get into the habit of praying and meditating God's word every day and live as a daily worshiper. Then God will bless you to see God's glory in every situation and in every step of life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us with your words and blessing us with your words today, what it looks like to be faithful and what it looks like to be faithless. I pray that you will continue to empower our spirits so that we may live a faithful life, so that through our life we may glorify you. We thank you, we love you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.